Blog Talk Radio.
Still alive.
Woo woo. Yo, what's good, motherfuckers? Welcome to Juggalo Rider Radio with your host, Havoc Cool, Gil G. Gil will be joining us very shortly. Of course, I'm the host, Havoc. Give me a bit. I'm finishing off Raw, so let's go with Mr. Crowley. Thank you. My bad. Me back. Up next. Shit, you know, I mean, I'm kind of in an anime mood. So what do you say we go with my homegirl, Echo Endless, with X-Men.
Be more
y'all. Up next, Becca with, of course, the closing theme to Black Butler, I'm Alive. Well, I mean, I could always say, let me see here, get out to something. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I could always say, we're here. right, y'all. Up next, Demigod Avengers, The Anthem.
And there came a day unlike any other, when a trio of underground's mightiest heroes were united against the common threat known as the industry. And on that day, the three of them united to become the Underground Avengers, to fight foes no single hero could withstand.
This is for the scarecrows, whoop whoop.
This is for my weirdos, what what.
This is for the class holes, fuck you. To anybody that's hating or trying to stop what we do. This is for the scarecrows, whoop whoop.
This is for my weirdos, what what what.
This is for the class holes, fuck you. To anybody that's hating or trying to stop what we do.
Up the Yacht Reactor, Boondocks is online. You don't wanna battle with a war machine, a heavy metal motherfucker with a blown mind. This dude be high tech, keep y'all a nervous wreck. Stockpile the ammunition with a mental condition and enough force trauma to break your neck. Stay skunk ass drunk and eccentric, I'm flying F-U-I. And if you want some, come get it, ain't nothing but F-U and I. I'm rolling out of control, don't need no reason why. Repulse rays to your motherfucking face in the form of a chrome HK-45. A woman on me, but teaming up sometime necessary. We're bucking class on my side, this team is very scary. Situation is very hairy. UGA is never wary. Bulldogging competition, leaving bitches in cemeteries. Trap on the armor plate, Avengers here to save the day. Lock up the wiser kids, cause they gon' be some hell to pay. This shit is really, really, we ain't got no time for fate. 30 out 6 in the crucifix, 3 downtown brothers, and you know we don't play. This is for the scarecrows, whoop whoop.
This is for my weirdos, what what.
This is for the class.
Weirdos, what, what?
This is for the class holes, fuck you. To anybody that's hating or trying to stop what we do.
I do it for the underground and all my weirdos. I do it for my villains and my superheroes. I do it for my juggalos and all my juggalos. I do it for my people banging this and breaking that. The simple fact is, most of y'all some actors. Acting like you got something you don't to me is whack shit. Fucking wannabes, you should've done your mad kids. You don't wanna rumble with the Hulk, I like to smash shit. Anybody out there really wanna prove a point? Cause most of you don't have enough hustle to move a joint. I promise they don't want me face to face and bumping heads. And y'all don't wanna see the weirdo when he's blinking red. Cause I get violent like Joe Bruce. Grand Theft, how to win this bitch, we talking no rules. You wanna war, we'll go to war, I'm talking no truce. And I've been so hungry for a fight, they swear I stole food.
This is for the scarecrows, whoop whoop.
This is for my weirdos, what what.
This is for the class.
Weirdos, what, what?
This is for the class holes, fuck you. To anybody that's hating or trying to stop what we do.
Yeah, say hello, the Avengers repping that underground. You can hear us coming, we rumble, witness that thunder pass. Haters give that run around, ladies trying to get us down. We stay on our grind, it's our time, got them like no wonder now. Funny how the mainstream don't want it, these kids, they love our shit. Keeping new saliva, ain't trying to run that redundant spit. Killed us like a murderer, observe it, tell them to rest in peace. Me, Buckshot, and Boondocks, the underground now has reached its peak. Teaming up to save it, this shit's amazing, the mission's clear. We all are vagrants and we've been waiting to reappear. They wanna hate it, they're facing powers much greater. We're about to make it clear, these weak motherfuckers are finished here. This is beginning, so marvel at what we're doing. We're taking over this game, don't leave these bitches in ruins. Cheer, the captain's back, red and black, best believe we're stacked. I don't need a plan of attack, I got a plan attack.
This is for the scarecrows, whoop whoop.
This is for my weirdos, what what.
This is for the class holes, fuck you. To anybody that's hating or trying to stop what we do. This is for the scarecrows, whoop whoop.
This is for my weirdos, what what what.
This is for the class holes, fuck you. To anybody that's hating or trying to stop what we do.
Ah, yeah, we're back. When you say we're going to a fucking jump steady story, I think we can go with the road. Since it's just me, myself, and I, so we might as well do something longer than it. So, here we go.
The road. The greatest adventure that I've ever been on involved a road. But not just any road, the road. Some of y'all have read about it in ICP's autobiography, Behind the Paint. Now this road, when we were growing up, it was the stuff of legend. Kids talked about it from as far back as I can remember. And there was rumors that abounded about the road. Some said there was an insane asylum on it. Others said that it was impossible to drive all the way through it and survive. And others, I remember one of the tales was this guy was driving down the road and he basically pretended his car broke down to spook his girlfriend. And then these lunatics dragged him out of the car and killed him. Those were the kind of legends that as a child, they just sparked my interest to no end. And I vowed then and there that at some point I would encounter and defeat the road. As the years passed, I basically kind of forgot about it altogether until I was about 17 years old. One day, my friend Matt Hapton came up to me and he was all crazy excited. He was like, Rob, you got to check this out. Last night, we went down this crazy ass road. It had an insane asylum on it. It had a cemetery. It was fucking wicked as fuck. He was like, you got to check it out. So I was like, oh, hell no. And all of a sudden, all those stories came up from my childhood and I started remembering all the stories about the road and I was like, could this be it? I was like, no way. So I was like, all right, check this out. We got to go down there. It's time for a ninja mission. We're going to walk that bitch.
Walk that bitch. Walk that bitch.
So we set the date and of course it couldn't be anything other than October 30th at midnight, Devil's Night. So we gathered the strongest warriors that we knew at the time from our crew. People that we knew would be a super asset to help us survive. So we gathered my brother Joe.
Right here.
Joe Usler.
Yep.
Steve Lindholm.
What up?
My boy Don Lichto.
Ta-da!
Jim Symington.
Here.
And Nate the motherfucking Mac.
Yeah.
Now, we decided that we would each bring one weapon, you know, with us. So, you know, people brought everything from a moose bone to bow and arrows. You know what I mean? So we were like ready. Of course, I had the staff, which is my weapon of choice. We had about a month to prepare for the road. So the whole time we were in school, that's all we could fucking talk about. It was like whoever would listen to us, we were telling them about the road and what we were going to do, how we were going to freak it. And finally, these two kids approached me and they were claiming that they had been to the road. And I was like, you know, at first I was skeptical, but then when they started describing it, there was way too many similarities. Like, there was no doubt in my mind that they had been there. And they told me there was a monastery on the road full of monks. And the monks there, they don't like anybody to go there to fuck around. Anybody that comes around their property, they'll attack them. And they have shotguns that shoot rock salt. So they told us the story about him and his boy, you know, were down there fucking around. And they seen the monk monastery, so they pulled their truck over and got out, and they started walking toward it to investigate. Suddenly, they said they heard this whistling, because the monks, they took a vow of silence, so they can't talk, so they communicate by whistling. And they said they heard whistling, and then shortly after that, they heard the shattering of glass coming from their truck. So they ran back there to check it out, and that's when they got blasted by rock salt from a shotgun by these monks, and then they got beat the fuck down. So they were so enraged, they said that, man, they were like super pissed off, and they continued the story. They actually went back, found one of the monks' vehicles and trashed it and flipped it and all this other shit. Anyway, we were like, man, we were like, that only intensified the situation. You know, most logical people would be like, oh, fuck that, I ain't gonna fuck with that. We were like, oh, that's awesome.
Awesome.
You
know, awesome.
You tell
awesome.
Me there's fucking these evil monks like patrolling the road and shit. We were like, man, that just made it all the hyper. It was like living up to the legend, you know? So anyway, It finally came to Devil's Night, and we all piled up in the 69 Oldsmobile, this big ass fucking car with a V8 rocket engine, and we rode down there to the mouth of the road. Now, when we got there, we pulled into the woods and we camouflaged the car. We basically took all this foliage and we piled it on top of the car so that, you know, nobody could see it or find the car. And then we stood there at the mouth of the road. Now, all of us were totally camouflaged the fuck out, even the face paint. And we all had weapons, and we were in full ninja mode, and the adrenaline was just surging. It was midnight, and it was completely dark, and we're just looking down at this long-ass fucking tunnel that's before us, just immense in darkness, and the wind is shifting, and you hear, like, loons in the fucking woods and these weird animals and shit. And, you know, being from the city, we're not used to that, so we're looking around like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? And but we were ready. We were fucking more than ready. I think our whole lives we were ready for this moment. So we started walking into the woods. Now, the first thing that happened to us on the road was we heard a CB going off. So when we heard the CB crackling, you know what I mean? Like, maybe there's, like, a lookout or a caretaker, you know, basically watching the road for, like, people like us that are out there, like, fucking around. So we ran into the cemetery. And I remember, like, the first thing I did was, like, we all kind of slid behind gravestones. And we sat there, and we were, like, completely still and silent. And we looked around, and we were like, all right, look, check this out. I was telling everybody, we're just going to wait here. We're going to wait here until we see if the cops come or whatever. And we're not going to fucking move, because we were, like, way deep in the cemetery. And I couldn't help but look over at the tomb that was the catacombs that was sitting in the middle of the cemetery. It was this big, foreboding building. And I remember the story my mom told me about how she used to go there as a kid and knock on that door. And, you know, it was rumored they wouldn't survive if they did that. Anyway, probably about 10 minutes passed, but it seemed like 3 hours as we sat there waiting, and nothing happened. No car came, no nothing. So finally we were like, all right, come on, let's go. Now, walking the road is much, much different than driving it. It's you just feel unsafe. You feel exposed to all the elements, and like anything can happen at any time. And the woods are so dense and so dark that it's as if, like, if somebody was hiding in the woods, they could just reach your arm out and grab you. You're like, you would never see them coming. So the whole time you're, like, looking constantly back and forth, you know, over your shoulder, like, expecting anything to jump out at you at any time. So you're like, needless to say, we were gripping our weapons super tight, like white knuckle tight, as we proceeded forth, because we are super cautious. Now, the next thing that we came upon was the insane asylum. It was actually lit up. There was lights shining at various points throughout the woods. Like, they were probably about, let's say, 50 feet apart. And so there was this fence that ran along the road on the left side that housed the insane asylum grounds. And then on the other side of that fence were all these lights just in the middle of fucking woods, you know? So we came upon this conclusion, I don't know if it was justified or not, that it was probably an insane lunatic had escaped. You know what I mean? And that's why they had it lit up, because they were looking for his ass. So that, compiled with all the rumors from the past, got us really amped up, so we quickened our pace to get past the insane asylum, expecting any moment for an insane lunatic to jump out at us. We crossed past the insane asylum. Luckily, nothing happened. So then, the next thing we saw was what can only be described as an old, ancient World War II bunker. It was shaped like curved, like a big curved building. And it must have been a part of a farmland, because there was a barbed wire fence that ran in front of it and bales of hay stacked up on the side of it, like a big hay pile. But it was so dark we couldn't see any houses or a farmhouse or anything. It was just this old ancient building, a structure. So I said, look, I'm going to check it out. You know, I told everybody I'm going to check it out. They're like, all right. So I hopped over the fence and I started walking toward it. And that's when something huge moved in the darkness. And I looked up. I was like, my mind started flipping. because I couldn't understand what I was seeing, but it was this giant form suddenly moved to face me, and I'd seen its eyes glistening in the darkness, and it was huge. So I looked at it, and then my mind started registering what it was, and I screamed out, "Bull!" as loud as I could, because all I saw was these fucking horns. So I thought the thing was about to charge me. It was this giant fucking beast in the middle of the woods in the darkness, you know, just in this, like, by this building. And I thought it was about to rush me, so I started running. And I flipped over the fence, like, I don't even know how I did. It was like a ninja flip. Like, my adrenaline was going so fast, I was just like, pa, and I was over that fence. Anyway, we started looking to try to see what the fuck it was, and it ended up, it was a fucking cow. Now, I didn't know this, but, you know, being from the city and stuff, but, like, some cows have, like, these small horns on their head, you know? So, once I determined it was safe, I kind of went over the fence again. And then the cow was, like, moving slowly away from me. That's when I started hearing all the move sounds coming from all the cows that were packed in the infantry-style building that they're in. So I got real close to it and looked in, and it looked like there was like 100 of these cows just all packed in there. I mean, maybe that's an exaggeration, but there was a lot of fucking cows just packed in there. So I went back to my crew and I said, look, test the bravery. We're going to survive the road. If we're going to be able to continue this mission, we have to fucking test ourselves right now. We each have to walk through that barn. So they were like, all right, bet. So we all hopped the fence. We went up to the fucking the structure, and we started to slowly walk through in the dark, packed with cows. Now, it's no easy task, because like as we were moving through, we started disturbing the cows, and they all started like moving around to try to get out the building. So as we're like walking, you're kind of getting battered by these giant bodies that are moving in the complete darkness, and we didn't have no light. That's another thing I wanted to mention. The whole time of the road, it was a strictly no light policy. We didn't have flashlights. We didn't have nothing. We were in straight up ninja mode. Like, we didn't want to give ourselves away. So we're like walking through this barn, and these cows are shifting, and we're like sinking in shit and mud. And it was crazy. So finally, the cows all strung out into the field, and we were like, they were mooing like real fucking loud, causing a big commotion. And, you know, and basically spanning out, like try to imagine like 100 cows all fanning out into the field, and they're all mooing and you know, just like getting live as cows can get. Suddenly we seen this light come on from a far distance. When the light came out, we could see the porch, and out of the porch, we see this door open, and this man steps out onto the porch with a shotgun. We were like, oh, fuck. Let's get the fuck out of here. And we all start running. And we were like, come on, we got to get over the fence. Now, in the darkness, running, I didn't see the barbed wire. Like, I couldn't gauge where exactly it was at, and I ran smack into that bitch. And I caught one of the barbs, like, right between my eyes, like, just at the apex of my nose. And it just, bam, like, I saw, like, this sharp, like, white light for a second. And next thing I know, there was blood dripping down my nose in my face. And I saw, like, one of my other boys, he started up the pile of hay, and all of a sudden, he just sunk right in the middle of the hay. Boom, he just disappeared. You know, just like a soft spot in the top of the hay, and he was just disappeared. So at this time, everybody's kind of, like, panicking. And eventually, we made it all over the barbed wire fence, and we ran down the road for quite a bit. We finally got off to the side of the road, and we started catching our breath. And at that point, people wanted to go back. They were like, man, fuck this, you know, this is too much, you know. So I remember it was at that moment where my brother stepped up, and he basically gave this really elaborate speech, you know, like a super motivational speech, you know, no, you know, this is our time. Why are we going to go back now? We have to fucking school this and survive this, and you know, you knew there was going to be dangers. You know, what did you think? This is going to be easy? This is what a test of a ninja is all about, surviving this road, like right now, right here. You know what I mean? You're just going to go back and fail? And he was just like, fuck that. And he was just getting all worked up. So when he gave that speech, everybody kind of like, it kind of inspired everybody again, you know. Like, my brother was always real good at that, like hyping people up, like, you know what I mean. So, you know, of course I stood by him, you know what I mean. They're like, man, you're all fucked up, you're bleeding from your nose and shit. And I was like, man, this ain't shit. You know, there was no way, no question, there's no way I was going back. So we continued further down the road. We traveled about a mile or so more down the road. And we were coming across this bend in the road, and that's when we heard it. It started really far away off in the distance, almost like outside of your hearing range. And it sounded almost ghostly, and it was a whistle. And when we heard that, we all stopped. And in the back of our minds, we're like, did we just hear that? And then all of a sudden, closer, like that whistle was like off to the left. And all of a sudden, off to the right and closer, we heard a repeat whistle. And when we heard that, I swear to you, the blood in my body just froze. And it was at that moment when I realized all the rumors about the road were true. To me, everything that was spoken was true. And we were being hunted. That's what I realized next. That those whistles, and they kept repeating on each side of us from all angles, were the monks in the road. And they knew we were there, and they were actively hunting us. So I remember I looked at Don, and I was like, you know, my mind, like being a role player, like sometimes I can shut off fear and like think. I can kind of step outside of myself. And I looked at Don, and I said, Don, man, repeat that whistle, you know, so they think we're one of them. You know what I mean? And so Don went up there and he did some kind of bullshit whistle. It sounded nothing like what they were doing. And so when he did that whistle, all the whistling stopped. And there was complete silence, save for our heavy breathing and the crickets. I told everybody, man, get your fucking weapons ready. You know, this is it. You know what I mean? We were ready. We felt like they were going to come busting out of the woods at any second. So we started to pick up our pace, you know what I mean, moving down the road, and that turned into like a jog. We started running. You know, I just gripped my staff extra tight, and we're running down this road, you know what I'm saying, and looking around, and just like there's nothing, though. No whistling, no nothing, just silence. So we ran, I'm not even sure how long it was, maybe like 5 or 10 minutes, when we finally started slowing down. And when we looked behind us, all we saw was a wall of darkness. And we didn't hear any whistling. So we stopped and we were like, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And we just really listened as close as we can. Now, it was at this time, as we stood there on the side of the road listening, that I looked over and through the trees, I saw a light emanating. So I looked at my boys and I was like, that's it. That's the fucking monk monastery. It's in the same area, like straight up. We're right on top of the monk monastery. We left the road and we started cutting through the woods. And we came upon a barbed wire fence. So we hopped that, went about 10 more feet, another barbed wire fence. So we all hopped that and we kept going real quiet as we possibly could be. And when we got close to the woods edge, we all dropped down and started low crawling all the way up to the edge of the woods. And we looked down. Now, the monk monastery, the stone building with the jagged edges, the jagged rooftops, was all lit up. And there was a clearing, like they had cut all the trees around it for about 100 feet in all directions. And it was in the middle of this field that kind of bowled down. So the monastery was at the base of this bowl type effect, like the land sloped down toward the middle. It's kind of as if a big meteor hit there and left a big crater. That's kind of how it was, but it was like grass. And it sloped down, and there in the middle was the stone monastery. Huge. And the tops of it were jagged points, and it had vines growing up the sides of it. And there was a gigantic window. It looked like a giant church window in front of it. And there was a little shed along the side of it. And so we looked down at this monk monastery, and as we watched, we can see through the giant picturesque window, there was some sort of ceremony going on. There was a monk in a brown robe, and there was a man in front of the window. And the man was standing there with his head bowed as the monk looked like he was blessing him. And the man was just dressed in normal clothes, like jeans and a t-shirt. You know, but he was like kind of bowing there, and the monk wearing the full-on cowl with the hood was like blessing him. So we were like in awe as we watched this, and clearly they couldn't tell we were out there. I mean, we were like far away from where that was happening. The only reason we could see it is because inside the window were like hundreds of candles that were all lit. So we stood there and watched it for a while, and then finally the monk and the man left, and I told everybody, I said, test the bravery. And they were like, looking at me like, oh shit, not again. And I was like, look, everybody's got to go down and we got to at least touch the monastery. Like, if we don't do this, we're fucking straight up bitches. I was like, you got to do it. So they were like, all right, bet. So I started down the hill and I low crawled all the way down that bitch. Now, this is even before I joined the army. But I'm going to tell you what, man, I was like the best low crawl you ever seen. You know, stay low to the ground, and it was sloped down, so it was pretty easy actually to slide down the hill. And I got all the way down to where the shed was, and I stopped and I looked and I was listening to see if anybody was in there. And I didn't hear anything. So I kept low crawling all the way up to the building, and I touched it. And then I started hightailing it back. Now, as I was going up, I saw everybody else coming down. Like, when they seen, like, I had made it safely, everything was good, they all started running down. Like, not even trying to fucking front or low crawl or anything. And they just went all the way down to the base of the monastery. And I came back up to where, close to where the barbed wire fence was, in the same position. And I got down and I was watching them. Now, these motherfuckers, man, they were running all the way around that bitch, looking in the windows and, you know, just like no fucking care at all. You know what I mean? I was like, oh shit, you know, what the fuck are they doing? So then, after about a couple minutes of that, like just kind of like everybody going crazy, losing their mind, everybody started running back up. So when they got back to my location, they all kind of plopped down, they were out of breath and everything. I was like, whoa, what's going on, man? What are you guys doing? And everybody had a story. They're like, oh man, it's fucking crazy. I fucking looked in. I think it was Don. He was like, I looked in, I seen this fucking monk. He was walking down the fucking hallway butt-ass naked. I was like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, yeah, man, he had no clothes, just walking down the hallway. And then another guy was telling me, he looked in his window, and there was a bedroom, and there was a monk praying on the edge of the bed naked. So we like, get the fuck out of here, man. What are you talking about? And it's like, yeah, and everybody had all these stories, like monks walking with the brown robes on, the whole nine. So we were like, all right, man, let's get the fuck out of here, you know what I mean? So we started crossing. We crossed the one barbed wire fence. We crossed the second barbed wire fence. We got back to the road. We started walking, like, quickly. We were feeling a little bit better because we went all the way around that monastery. Like, it wasn't shit, and we didn't get attacked. Nothing happened. We hadn't heard the whistling, you know, in a long time now. So we're like, all right, we're fucking good. So we started crossing down the road, and all of a sudden, we started hearing these fucking shots. And as we hear the shots, you just hear, like, these pellets. Is the only way I can explain it. Like, these pellets ripping through the dense wood, like, popping off of tree trunks and splintering small branches and cutting through the leaves and shit. Like, it's just, it was weird. Like, it had this fucking crazy weird sound, and it sounded like it was coming from all around us. We just heard this popping and these shotguns going off. So as we heard that, I looked back and I said, run! As loud as I could, fucking run! And we started hauling ass because we couldn't even tell where it was coming from. And we just all started running as fast as we could, just like straight down the road, like the same direction we were headed, you know, just running. Now, as I ran, there was a small path that crossed across the road. It was like a, I guess, a four-way intersection. And as I ran past that, I looked off to my left as I was running. Now this path, this small path, went down a ways, like maybe about 50 feet, and it opened into this clearing. And in the clearing, I saw about four or five pickup trucks in a circle on the edge of the clearing. And there, standing in the middle of the clearing, were these monks. A group of monks, all dark in the, you know, really dark in the darkness, like almost like silhouettes. And they're pointing guns at us as we're passing by and shooting. So the reality of that image of them standing there in the clearing, that will forever remain in my mind. Like, I will never forget that. It was one of the scariest moments of my life, and you know, it just felt like we weren't gonna make it. You know what I mean? I really felt like at that moment that we were done. And so we kept running, and my boy Steve Lindholm got hit in the leg, and he started screaming. I guess his momentum, the adrenaline was flowing so hard that he just kept fucking running, and we were trying to help him. We were like, come on, come on. He was all in pain, and we just kept running. So we ran and we ran until we were almost out of breath, like completely exhausted. And that's when somebody yelled, "Car!" And we looked back, and sure enough, coming down the road from the same direction we were running from, we saw a set of headlights that were coming at us. So we all ditched to the right side of the road, and we got deep into the woods, and we dropped down. And we were trying to be as still as we possibly could, even though we were all breathing heavy. And then I was looking, and sure enough, here come the pickup trucks. The same ones that were in the field, slowly creeping down the road as if they were looking for us. And as they passed one by one, you can see in the back window there were gun racks where their shotguns were nestled and their rifles were like nestled onto these racks in the back windows of the cab of the pickup trucks. Now the amazing thing was, right at this moment, I look over and there's Don Lichtel standing up, notching an arrow into his bow as he's watching these pickup trucks slowly pass by. Now, one thing I want to tell you about Don Lichtel, like, I've seen this dude stand up. He's an Hawaiian dude. He stands about 5'6" tall, and I've seen him stand up against muscular 6'4" ninjas in high school, like talking mad shit, like ready to fight him. So he was standing there with his bow and arrow, and he's slowly pulling the bow back. And there at the tail end of the convoy of pickup trucks is one pickup truck that is just tailing behind, and it's a big gap between the rest of the convoy and them. It's moving slower than the rest of the trucks. So we're all standing there watching Don in awe when suddenly he comes right up to the side of the road and unleashes the arrow almost at point blank range. Next thing we saw was the window just shatter as the arrow goes through and embeds itself into the passenger seat, narrowly missing the monk that was sitting there. The driver throws up his hands in panic, and the next thing we saw was the pickup truck swerve off to the side of the road and bam, hit a tree and come to a stop. Now when that happened, there was a few moments where we're all kind of looking at each other. We're looking at the pickup truck, and all of a sudden this rage just overtook us. And we all got up almost at once, and we started rushing the truck. Now, by the time we gained our wits and started rushing the truck, they had already opened the driver and the passenger door, and they started running through the woods. So we gave chase. Now, I didn't make it very far. We kind of split up because the two monks ran in two different directions. And one group was following the one guy. I was following the other guy. Next thing I know, I entered the woods, and I probably only made it like 5 or 10 feet when all of a sudden this branch just caught my eye, just like poked me right in the eye. So I was all in this pain. I kept running for a little while longer, and bam, I hit a bush or some shit, some underbrush, and it just totally knocked me off my feet. So as I lay there, in pain, I'm like hearing this echoing of these voices deep in the woods. I hear my brother and my friends cursing out these monks, and I hear him shouting like, oh, he's over here, come on, and just shouts echoing through the woods, just mad chaos. So anyway, I found out later that they gave chase for a while, but nobody ever caught him. And it was kind of lucky that that branch caught my eye, because if I would have been running after them, I probably would have caught them, because I was basically the best runner we had. And in a way, I'm really happy that I didn't catch them, you know, because if we would have caught them, it would have been real bad. So after the monks got away, we regrouped back onto the road, and we continued down the road for a few more miles. As we came to the end of the road, we started to see sparse houses start to appear, and we started to feel a sense of joy and safety as we emerged once again back into civilization. We had made it. We had survived and conquered the road. We traveled for a ways until we finally found a payphone where we called our boy to come pick us up, who took us back to our car. When we got there, we removed the camouflage to find a note was tucked underneath the windshield wiper. When we read it, it simply said, if we would have found you, we would have killed you. We assumed, of course, that it was from the monks. It was their last message left to us, warning us to never come back. But we had survived, so it didn't matter at that point, because we went home with a notch in our belt that we had completed our ninja mission, the greatest ninja mission. And that was a moment that will forever remain in my mind as the greatest adventure that I believe I've ever been on and probably will ever be on in my life.
Joe the Gray Wizard.
This one time, there was a friend of mine. His name was Joe the Gray Wizard. Now, Joe wasn't really a wizard per se. He was more of a warlock because he practiced the Wiccan belief. And what he was most known for amongst our crew was empowering stones. He could basically take any kind of stone and bestow it with luck or protection or love, and then you would gain that benefit along those lines as long as you held those stones in your possession. And that's basically what Joe the Gray Wizard was known for. Now, this one incident happened that I'll never forget. And again, it was one of those things that, you know, people would probably dismiss, you know, at some point. Like if they seen it, you know, they might be astonished by it at first, but then as time went on, they would probably just dismiss it out of their mind. But I'll never forget this moment. And, you know, like retelling it, it might not sound that fantastical, but it really did amaze me when it happened. 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 All right, we used to go to Chicago once a year to this arcade. It was a virtual reality arcade called the BattleTech Simulator. And now, like, you know, I'd go down there with a group of my friends, and we'd usually spend a weekend down there. Now, anybody that's ever been to Chicago, they know that it's incredibly windy. Like, you know, at certain parts of the year, you know, they don't call it the Windy City for nothing. And this particular time was in wintertime, and where we parked our car was, like, about a quarter mile away from where this arcade was, because it was in the middle of the downtown area. You know, parking was always for shit. Anyway, we parked our car and we walked to the virtual reality arcade. And as we're walking, there's this incredible, like, biting wind. It was crazy cold and just, like, blasting you in the face, you know. And there was a really strong force to it, to the point where it was uncomfortable. You know what I mean? It was the kind of shit that caused your eyes to water, and then they would just, like, freeze, you know what I mean? Because it was so fucking cold at the same time. So anyway, we go to the arcade. You know, we went to the arcade this one particular day, and, you know, we got our gaming in. And when we were leaving, it was nighttime, so it was even colder. And most of my friends were walking up front, and me and Joe, the Gray Wizard, we were about a block behind, and we were walking. And this wind was just nonstop blasting in one direction right into our faces. I looked at Joe, the Gray Wizard, and I said, man, I wish this fucking wind would stop, you know? And as soon as I said that, he looked over at me, and he bowed his head as we were walking forward, like pushing into this wind, and he extended his hand out in a stopping motion. So here he is, walking, bowing his head in deep concentration, like looking down, not really looking at anything because he had his eyes closed, but in deep concentration, and he was holding his hand out in front of himself, right? All of a sudden, this wind that had been blowing for hours, you know what I mean, nonstop, suddenly stopped. And not only did it stop, but all of a sudden I felt like a gentle pushing of this wind behind us. You know what I mean? The whole time it was blowing in one direction, which was like straight onto us as we were walking. And all of a sudden, the wind was like gently pushing us from the back. It was almost like the wind was wrapping itself around a shield that was in front of us and like curling into the back. You know what I mean? Like curling into the back around the shield. And I looked at Joe as I was walking, and I couldn't believe what was happening. And when we got back to the vehicle, I wouldn't let it go, man. I was like, Joe, how the fuck do you do that, man? You stop the fucking wind. Are you serious right now? I was like, how do you have these powers? You know what I mean? And he just looked, you know, he was a real humble dude, you know what I'm saying? He just kind of looked and smiled. You know, like he would never tell anybody anything about his magical powers or how he went about changing the world. That always stuck with me, and even years later, I would ask him, you know, Joe, man, when are you going to tell me how you stopped that fucking wind, man? This Joe the Great Wizard, I had, you know, I was friends with him for many years, and there was another incident that happened where we were actually playing a game of Morton's List. Now, Morton's List is a game that basically you roll randomly on this table and it gives you a random activity, something to do, you know, and all the activities are basically something that someone would do for fun. Anyway, we happen to roll sands. And we happen to be playing a game with Joe the Gray Wizard. You know, so we talked about it and we decided that we were going to hold the sands right at Psychopathic Records, like right at the office. And Joe the Gray Wizard, who was very versed in seances, would actually conduct it. So we were like, all right, cool. So we went there. We basically got all the stuff we needed. We got four candles. They were brand new candles. And he needed a sheet of glass, you know, which we got. And so the glass was, he explained it, was going to be the gateway into the spiritual realm. And so then we conducted the seance, and we were trying to reach a really good friend of mine who passed away in high school. He actually committed suicide. His name was Kenny Veach. And this was a really good friend of mine. Like, I've tried to reach him in several different seances throughout my life. All through middle school, I hung real tight with this kid, like, every day, you know, without fail. And then when we went into high schools, he actually moved away, and we kind of separated. Anyway, he committed suicide. And when they found his body, he was actually in his garage, you know, he kept the car running, you know, to kill himself. And when they found his body, he was actually in the garage with his body stretched out toward the door leading out of the garage. Like he had changed his mind last minute and he didn't want to commit suicide, but it was too late. He passed before he got to the door. Anyway, so we decided we were going to try to contact Kenny Veach, you know, because I always felt like I never got closure, you know, with him. And so, like, that was, you know, when it was brought up, who should we try to reach, you know, that's who I wanted to bring up, because, like, I felt like if we can somehow, you know, come in contact with him, I would like to have my final words with him. So anyway, we were conducting the seance, and Joe the Great Wizard, like when he did seances, he would always begin it with open the gate, you know, and he explained it. Seances are dangerous because whenever you do a seance, you have to open a gate. The problem is with opening a gate is you never know who's going to come through that gate. And he explained that the glass was a representation of that gate, but it also allowed him to peer into the other side so he could see what was about to come through the gate. You know, using his warlock abilities, he was able to perceive the spiritual realm, at least, you know, a part of the spiritual realm by use of the sheet of glass. So anyway, we were holding the seance and we were trying to reach Kenny Beach, and he opened the gate, and you know, he warned us all, like, before we even did it, you know, this could be something that might get fucked up. I mean, so by opening the gate, you never know what's going to come through. So we started doing the seance. At one point, we asked for a sign. And just as he asked for a sign that there was a spirit, like, close at hand, you know, that could assist us in finding Kenny Veach, we heard a heavy thump on the roof of the building. So we all looked up and we were like, you know, kind of like, whoa, that was fucked up, you know? We were kind of looking around at each other and we heard the thump again. So then we were like, is this fucking real? You know what I mean? No, it's probably just like something weird. Even though we didn't hear no thump at all the rest of the time. So then he asked the spirits to help us to find Kenny Veach. So he looked down and he said, can we get another sign? And as he was saying that, on the table were those four candles. Now each candle was casting a perfect shadow because they were all brand new candles. And the shadow was like around the base of the candle, and it probably extended out about 2 inches. Anyway, as he asked for the second sign, all of a sudden, one of the shadows on the candle begins expanding across the table. And we were like, I think I was the first one to notice it. I was like, whoa, look at that shadow. And it was just creeping, growing. Then it was 3 inches, then it was 4 inches. All of a sudden, it was about like 7 or 8 inches expanding across the table. As if it was like I don't even fucking know how to explain it. But it was one of those things where it just flipped your mind. Like, you're looking at it, and you're not even, your mind is having a hard time processing what you're seeing. Because it's something that's just, it's breaking the rules of this world. Like, it's not supposed to be happening. So as it dawned upon everyone what was going on, as the shadow was expanding across the table, all of a sudden, Joe the Great Wizard, he looked out at the mirror, and we looked over at him, and you just see this look of complete terror on his face. Just complete and utter terror. And then he said, close the gate! Close the gate! Close the gate! Like, he screamed it out. And then we're like, all of a sudden, boom, the shadow went back to normal. The thumping on the roof stopped. And we're all looking around like, what the fuck happened, man? Like, what's going on, you know? And Joe said that he's seen some sort of demonic form that was coming through the glass. And he said that it was wolf-like in nature. The way he described it was it was a wolf-type demonic creature that was trying to break its way up through the glass to get out into our world. And he was able to, at the last minute, he was able to close the gate to keep it from entering our world. Part of the reason that I wanted to tell you the wind story is because I want you to know that Joe the Great Wizard, he was not prone to, like, bullshit stories, or, you know, he wasn't into the displays of his abilities or his powers. So I never questioned his abilities and, like, his stones that he gave out and that he empowered. Like, I always took them as if they were gold. You know what I mean? Because I knew that in some way, somehow, he was able to actually utilize real and true magic, you know, to affect, you know what I mean? To affect this world.
And we're back. What up, ghetto?
Stop me, little bitch.
Watching Naked Vegas.
Of course you are, just because it got naked in the title.
Ah, plus they had Danielle Harris up in that shit. Dope as a motherfucker.
Here we go, name dropping again with people I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure if, you know, if you saw her, you'd recognize her.
Let's see.
I'm waiting to see if Monica responds back to me.
Oh.
Monica Lee.
Now, why would she respond to you?
Because I hit her up.
Saying,
oh, I asked her, you know, what does she prefer, Xbox or PlayStation? And I, you know, asked her if, you know, she ever thought about maybe doing like a Iron Woman for cosplay and shit. So, I mean, because of the fact I was on her cosplay.com page and I saw her like as a rogue with in the background, she had Iron Man in the background. So, like, so I asked her, if she even had the idea of maybe doing something like that for a cosplay or something like that.
All right, then.
But, but, yeah, You've seen the Rob Zombie version of Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the chick Annie Brackett in the movie?
No.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
No.
Oh. The riots. The Wyatts.
The riots.
Yep. But yeah, so they ran off with Daniel Bryan.
And then the spear.
Yeah, because, you know, we didn't see that enough tonight.
Yeah, we ain't seen enough of that this whole time he's been around.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We saw it like 4 times last night and like 10,000 times tonight.
Let's see. That Divas match happened last night and tonight. The Miz versus Kofi Kingston happened yesterday and today.
Yeah.
What was the purpose of the pay-per-view?
And what's funny is the fact that it was practically the same results as last night. Total Divas won last night. Total Divas won tonight.
So was it really necessary to have 2 matches?
No.
Seems how that match took a total of 5 minutes altogether, even with all those people.
I mean, the only difference is this time fucking Tamina got fucking eliminated early.
So what is the point of Eva Marie, man? Is she just there to be a bitch because she doesn't know how to wrestle?
Probably.
Because she can't wrestle. She gets maybe a lucky pin here or there, and nobody likes her.
Exactly. And JoJo, I think, needs a little bit more time in the ring. That, plus, they need to make it so that way, you know, she doesn't go up against fucking Tamina so early in her career.
What? That's completely fair.
And that was completely pointless last night. Fucking, it was her versus Tamina. Okay, it was her, Natalya, and Nikki that were left.
But
JoJo got in.
But apparently she pinned her twice.
Well, last night Tamina pinned her, and then tonight Alicia Fox pinned her.
But she pinned Tamina, though.
Well, that was only tonight, but last night she didn't get pinned by Tamina. I mean, last night she didn't pin Tamina. Oh, let's put it this way, last night fucking Tamina just completely destroyed the poor woman, poor little girl.
Yeah, she comes in, she does one move, and then the diva's dead. And what the hell, man? That was the weakest clothesline I've ever seen, too, performed by her.
Like I said, JoJo needs more time in the ring.
No, not her. Tamina.
Well, you gotta realize, Tamina's more used to slapping chicks in the tits and then doing a fucking,
That's what I'm saying, man. If you're a wrestler, you could perform a simple clothesline. Hers was just terrible.
I mean, for Pete's sake, fucking Michael Cole could probably do a better fucking clothesline than that. And he don't wrestle.
Because she went running full speed at her. And barely hit her. You know, not like when the Big Show goes running at somebody and the person then goes flying and shit.
Yeah.
So what exactly happened to Randy Orton, man? Why has he got big-ass bruises on his chest?
From all the chops that was delivered to him by Big Show.
And what the hell was that damn picture that was on the internet of Big Show with his big swollen eye?
He got punted in the head by fucking Randy Orton.
Okay, so he goes from a big swollen ass eye to nothing wrong with him the next day. How the fuck does that work?
But how the fuck does it work when fucking Paul Heyman has a black eye one day and no black eye the next day?
You know what I'm saying, man? That's the picture, man. His eye was swollen as fuck, man. All black and shit. And he comes out tonight, his eye's just fine. It's like, really? Why'd you take that picture then?
Yeah, right. But yeah, man, that fucking 5-on-5 match last night was horrible. I mean, it was good until fucking Roman Reigns came into the match and started spearing everybody.
It's so sad that that's how they have to end up every match he's in. Just have him spear everybody because he doesn't know how to do anything else.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because that's how he won the fucking match last night. I mean, he speared fucking Rey Mysterio because Rey Mysterio was the last fucking person for his team. And, yeah, he spears fucking Mysterio and pins him 1-2-3.
Then a rematch for the IC title, which nobody needed to see again.
Yeah.
And Mark Henry taking out Goldberg.
Yeah, last night, and then tonight we had him as a tag team.
Yeah, who didn't see that coming?
How about that fucking Hampton hardcore match that they put fucking Sandow and Ziggler in?
Yeah, what is the deal with that shit, man? Why do you keep putting them in these stupid ass matches?
I have no idea. But I mean, come on. But then again, I mean, maybe it's, you know, to hear fucking JBL with his stupid remarks. The rich don't have garbage.
The rich don't have garbage.
That's what he was saying, that the rich doesn't have garbage cans or something like that. And if they do, they don't know about them. They hide them.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, apparently, apparently the rich don't take care of their own garbage. They have people do it for them. So they don't
know obviously, them. They still have garbage cans.
No, no. Then you had fucking buoys and oars in the fucking ring.
Yeah, dude, man, whenever he smacked Sandow with that damn paddle thing, man, fucking, you know that shit hurt.
Hell yeah.
But yeah. We didn't need to see the Shield for a second time tonight.
I mean, come on, they had their match.
Wait. What else did they do?
It was the Shield versus Goldust, Cody Rhodes, and Rey Mysterio.
Really? Same match that happened last night, minus two people.
Exactly.
So dumb.
Technically, minus four people.
Four people?
Because remember,
that's right.
It was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, come on. The fact that we had to see Roman Reigns spearing Mysterio and everybody else again tonight, and then, again, we had to see him come out and him spear fucking CM Punk.
So what the hell are they going to do, man? They're going to combine these two titles and give us a shitty looking one again.
Probably. I mean, in a way, it's a smart idea just because of the fact, I mean, you know, you get fucking Orton and fucking, you know, fucking arguing about who the face of the company is.
Man, no matter how much you hate it, it's John Cena.
Exactly, but still, but the fact that they're arguing about it, you know, I mean, and you know, if they're going to unify a title, they should bring back a title, like the Cruiserweight title. Or something.
Cruiserweight title. Ain't got enough cruiserweights.
I think they got plenty of cruiserweights right now.
Rey Mysterio. And Accident prone. I mean Sin Cara.
Let's see. Let's see who all is on the roster right now. That's still alive. Let's see. No, he sucks. Let's see, you got Epico, aka Fernando. You got Kuniko, Hornswoggle.
Really?
Well,
if they brought that title back, he was the last one to hold it.
Yeah. You got like the Kofi Kingston who could be for the, considered like in the Cruiserweight division. Primo.
They're not
going to
give that dude a They're not going to give that dude a title.
Ricardo Rodriguez would be good for that shit. Seth Rollins. Like you said, Sin Cara, a.k.a. accident prone. Tyson Kidd. Xavier Woods.
That dude just gets hyped up on speed and comes out to the ring.
I mean, technically, I guess R-Truth could be considered a, for the cruiserweight division. Justin Gabriel could be part of that shit. JTG, even though he's dead. Jinder Mahal could be considered for the cruiserweight division.
That dude ain't no cruiserweight.
If he ever comes back, Evan Bourne, if he ever comes back.
He's too busy taking steroids.
I guess if you really want to, even though he's not really much of a cruiserweight, and even though you don't like him, maybe Cody Rhodes could be part of that shit.
Cody Rhodes just fucking sucks, period.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say, man, I mean, just think about it. I mean, if they are going to, unify the titles again, might as well, bring back in another fucking title, that could be defended.
I don't know why they need to combine them again anyway.
I don't know. I guess apparently John Cena wants to see who the actual champion is.
Put them together and then a little further down the line, then they're just going to have two separate ones again anyway.
Oh, yeah, they already did that one time already, as it is.
Yeah, so it's fucking stupid. Stop doing it. This shit is stuck on repeat. There goes Havoc drinking like a fish again.
Yep, that's my third bottle of water tonight. Well, at least I'm not drinking and burping like last time.
You don't ever burp. You fart.
But let's see here. What else we got here? Come on, what are the titles can they bring back then? I mean,
the European title.
Yeah, but the European title and the Intercontinental title would technically be the same thing.
No, because they had the European title and the Intercontinental Championship at one point in time.
Yeah, and the U.S. title at one time, too.
Oh, that's right. They still have that title. Whatever. You wouldn't know that because nobody defends it.
Well, of course not, because Dean Ambrose has it and he doesn't want to defend it.
Because he'd lose. Well, since they want to keep doing all these hardcore matches, bring back the hardcore title.
Yeah, there you go. But I think what they should do is, if you're going to do like a hardcore match, do an actual hardcore match, not these fucking Hampton shit.
They just give it a stupid name, but it's still a hardcore match.
Yeah, except this time around, with the ones now, they're actually fighting with stupid things like oars, guitars, fucking tennis balls, tennis rackets.
Yeah, what the fuck are you going to do with tennis balls? You going to play that game called Butt Ball, man? You played back when we were kids and shit? Bounce a ball off the wall and shit, and if you miss it, you don't grab it with one hand, person gets to beam it in your back. Like, what are you going to do with a tennis ball?
Man, well, what the hell are you going to do with a fucking bucket full of tennis balls?
But you said we need more weapons. You got more weapons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the tennis racket, that's fine. The oar is fine. The fucking buoy, I guess, is fine. But you don't need the fucking tennis balls and that shit.
Man, didn't they bring some fucking golf balls or something, too?
Golf clubs.
I swear I brought some golf balls, too.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, golf clubs, that's fine, too. But, you don't need a tennis ball or fucking golf balls. I mean, come on. I mean, if you can actually bring out any kind of ball, bring out a fucking, I don't know, fucking bowling ball and just start doing it in ECW. Go bowling.
Yeah, who used to do that?
Tommy Dreamer.
Is that who that was?
Yep.
I was thinking Bubba Ray.
Bubba Ray did that too as well, but I mean, he did that. Tommy Dreamer did it. And hey, at least now we know why fucking Brad Maddox is always getting hurt.
Why is that?
Well, his real name is Tyler Klutz.
Wow.
Well, at least now we know why he's always getting hurt, because he's a klutz.
He's getting hurt because WWE doesn't like him.
Yeah, that too. I wonder if JoJo even has a fucking finishing move. Probably not.
Yeah, it's called the get pinned.
Well, let's see. She has the schoolgirl and the sunset flip. That's it for her signature move.
Those aren't really finishing moves. Those are pinning moves, maneuvers.
Yeah.
And she did both of those in that match.
Yeah, and the fact that, I don't know, I think it's funny how, they put her and Eva Marie, the two divas who can't wrestle worth shit. In that shit. I mean, come on. I mean, come on. Like, if you really want to have an actual fucking match like that, and if he's in good competition, take fucking JoJo and Eva Marie out of that shit and put, Paige and Emma on the team. But don't give up somebody that's, gonna get their ass killed by, the likes of,
the whole other side.
Yeah. All right, see, here we go. Fucking, they have plenty of, divas and fucking NXT that they could bring in. They could bring in Bayley. Well, no, never mind. They'll bring in Bayley. That bitch is annoying and stupid. But they could bring in Charlotte. They could bring in Emma. They could bring in Paige. Fucking Raquel. Sasha. But no, they don't do that shit. Because they give them the fucking divas that can't wrestle worth shit. And, man, they just need to kill the fucking governor already. Just kill his ass.
What is going on? What, the second season finale where they've been hunting for him and he's still not dead?
Yeah, what's even funny is the fact that he's, like, right there. Like, you know, he's in the woods watching you.
Been watching him for, like, 3 episodes.
I mean, fucking... they just need to get rid of him. That dude's just stupid.
And so how about he found the picture of the person he's pretending to be?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, the person he's pretending to be and the fucking people that he killed.
I guess zombies can't drown.
I guess not.
That damn dude's a zombie chained to the fucking water and shit, and he's not really dying or running out of air or anything.
Yeah, but the question is, can it swim?
Well, no, when it's anchored to the bottom.
Well, even then, I mean, you know, like, I think if again, the governor took him out further, like into the deeper side.
Well, I mean, if he didn't do that, then he'd just be in the water, and you know, and somebody would find him.
Oh yeah.
But as for swimming, I highly doubt it. unless you count the ones they found in the mud. That were kind of swimming in the middle of the road.
Yeah, why the fuck were they in the... Like, how the fuck did they even get that far into the wood? The mud?
Why the hell didn't you just run them over? Like, why did you get out of the car to look at them?
Well, that too.
Like, look at these walkers in the mud. How nice.
Yeah, I'm not going to run you over. I'm just going to watch you.
And then nothing more happened with that. Then it just cut to something else.
Yeah, exactly. He just gave him peace.
Man, I saw that. I was like, man, he's about to kill all of these bitches right now.
Man, he's going to end up killing everybody in his camp now, again. I bet you anything.
Yeah, as he's forming this same group that is on the other side that we've seen for so long, you know, with Darryl and Merle and Rick and all them. Now it's being formed with him.
Yeah, except, you know, he decided to kill fucking Martinez.
No, he's not part of this. I'm talking about what he's doing right now.
Well, yeah, like, you know, I mean, come on, like, he's got, like, fucking Terra. That one dude, I forgot, his name wasn't that important to learn. He's got the fucking kids up in that shit. He's gonna probably teach the kid, the little girl, how to fucking shoot and kill.
I just like how all those people are at that camp and nobody sees anything.
Yeah, right?
Hey, what's even funny is the fact that they just assumed that Martinez was drunk.
Well, he was
playing golf. No, like in the, you know, they just assumed that he was drunk and that he fell into the hole, more to the Walker pit.
Well, it is possible.
It is, but I don't see him falling directly into the pit. From a trailer that's nowhere near the pit.
So he got back up, he fell down again, got back up, fell down again, or he just rolled.
Yeah, he turned into Rey Mysterio. Falling down, getting hurt again.
And he's like, booyaka, booyaka. I'm going in the pit.
Yeah, and the zombies looking at him like, what the fuck is booyaka?
They're like, oh.
And I don't know where the governor comes and spears the one of Walker.
And I know where Sin Cara. Oh no, he's dead.
Oh, bud. Man, I don't see Sin Cara come back at all. If he's smart, he won't come back.
He still got a broken finger.
Let's find out.
How long does it take for a finger to heal?
I have no idea. Mystical. Injured with a broken finger.
We know this.
Back in August.
Damn, see, come on, man, your finger would be already by now.
That's the thing, he didn't even break it. He just dislocated it.
But he just said he was out with a broken finger.
Well, that's what you said.
That's what they said.
Well, this is right here. During the night, August 19th episode of Raw, Sin Cara dislocated his ring finger during a match with Del Rio. Man, that shit's got to be healed by now.
Dude, they kept talking about that shit, man. They were screaming, he broke his finger.
Yeah. He broke it. No, bitch, he dislocated it. He should be fine by now.
Then he should be back already.
Exactly.
Pop that shit back in and you're good.
Oh, man. I mean, shit, man, fucking... Let's see, Ray keeps getting hurt, Sin Cara keeps getting hurt, Christian's hurt again. I don't even know why Christian bothered to come back in the first place. Let's see. I mean, on a good note, you know, we haven't had to see fucking Wade Barrett.
He's stuck in customs.
Yeah, he actually is. He's having visa issues.
That's been going on for a while now, too.
Let's see, Brodus Clay's out injured.
Oh, that's why somebody replaced him.
Yeah, he's out with
stole,
he's out with
his
injury.
Music, his intro, his bitches.
Yep, knee injury. What's funny is the fact that, you know, he's out with a knee injury, but Tensai is perfectly fine. So why the fuck don't they have him in matches?
Because he can't decide which character he wants to be.
Yeah, he doesn't know if he wants to be Tensai, Sweet Tea, A-Train,
yeah.
Albert.
He's going to have to grow out his chest hair and back hair again.
I mean, come on, man. Like, what the hell? And, of course, fucking Cena always ends up getting injured all the time, too.
Yeah, but he comes back.
Exactly. He comes back. And what's funny is the fact that, you know,
He should have been out for 6 months. Fucking, whereas Sincara, who only dislocated his fucking ring finger, should have been back way before John Cena, but yet Cena came back before him.
Sincara went back to Mexico.
Good. Keep him there. Let's see. Yeah, Layla's been inactive since September. Don't know why.
She's probably going to be in Playboy. No, I don't.
Let's see.
She does a lot of photo shoots, though.
Yeah, she does. Let's see, Christian. What have you injured at this time? Ah, there we go. His shield. So the last time we saw Christian was the night that Edge came out, was there. And he got taken out by the shield. But that was it.
Wonderful.
That was the only time he came back.
I don't miss him.
But come on, man. It's just funny the fact, you know, he comes back just to be taken out again.
Representing the disabled list, Christian.
Yeah. Now, guest starring in Chris Jericho's band, Christian.
The fuck?
Only that says because of the fact Chris Jericho is Christian's next door neighbor. Oh, that must suck.
Yeah. Asked him for a cup of sugar. And then he had to go to the hospital for 6 months.
But, you know, I wish fucking Heath Slater and Jinder Mahal and, what's that motherfucker's name? Drew McIntyre would get injured in the head.
Then what idiots would they throw on every show to get beat up?
They could throw a shield in to get beat up every night.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know. Okay, here's the perfect team that they can put together and have them get their ass kicked every night. Matt Stryker, you know he's not there anymore. Josh Matthews, Michael Cole.
All the announcers.
Yes. I mean, come on, either way, I mean, it would be perfect. If you have Michael Cole in the ring and getting his ass kicked every single fucking week. You ain't got to worry about hearing from him. You ain't got to worry about hearing about the fucking WWF.
Didn't hear very much about that tonight.
Yeah, the only thing we heard was how to install it.
But they actually had a pool that wasn't completely fixed.
Yeah, the fucking rock one.
Yeah, it's where everything else is completely fucking fixed, but that one was actually pretty fair.
Hell yeah.
Same thing with the what kind of match do you want? That was kind of even.
Oh yeah. I mean, I voted for a fucking lumberjack match. Honestly, the fact. Let's see, we saw them fucking beat each other in the head with fucking drums and guitars last fucking Monday. We didn't need to see them beat each other in the head with fucking, you know, golf clubs, tennis balls, and all that shit.
I'm getting the impression you really like that match.
That match was fucking stupid. I mean, come on, Triple H. Stephanie, come back with some better matches.
They gave you a handicap match. Are you not impressed?
No. Because we had three handicap matches a couple nights ago. Or a couple weeks ago, whatever.
I was about to say a couple nights ago. What the fuck are you doing?
I mean, come on, let's see. You had Goldust, the Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton, handicap. And you had the Real Americans versus John Cena, handicap. And what was it, like the Shield or something like that, or Wyatt versus somebody?
Like, you know who made that match famous, right?
Yeah, Vicky.
No, Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara.
What, doing handicap matches? True. They're always handicapped, they're always injured.
Took you a minute.
Well, I mean, technically, if you really think about it, the ones that made that famous would be Sin Cara, Rey, and Christian. Out of money. They need to start doing better matches. I mean, come on. I mean, if you can do a hardcore match, I don't give a fuck what name you call it. You know, at least let there be blood. Beat this fuck out of each other. Take it to the fucking back into the arena. Take it to the crowd. No, fucking. Now these dumbasses just stay in the fucking ring, beating the fuck out of each other with all these weapons. That's funny because they bring the weapons to them. Back in the fucking day, they used to have to go and find their own weapons. You remember that?
So do you have Ola by Snowdo product on the soundboard?
I think so. Let's find out. H-O-M. Holly. Yep.
Why don't you go ahead and play that?
Here we go.
Up, you can check all of my phones and your mom coming up, cause I made a couple fucking 100 grand in a month, and I got the rubber bands that'll Pack it up, stick that shit up, break it out, break it out. Pack it up, stick that shit up in my cup, hola, what's up? Got the purple and a double cup, and I'm so high, got them all looking up. And I bet every guy in the club wanna touch little chick with the shades and the smile and the chub. Bet they all blind if they don't look it up. Cause a girl with a crumb, group of girls yelling what? Going bold, getting drunk, bet it's up in the club. Bet they yelling out, break it out, pull that drink, break it down, smoke that bang. Gotta make it loud, what y'all think? Got purple clouds and my stripes stay pink. And I gotta mess up, but these girls stay tripping. But not this girl, cause this girl stay pimping. And I was always trying to get in where you fit in, and I fit in real well. And like every single city, like,